Good morning. My name is Tom Lemler. I am a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry, here with a Sunday morning devotion, encouragement, and prayer time. This morning, as I spent time with God, continuing in the In Christ Alone devotional journal, today's topic focus is In Christ, I Have Been Crucified. Probably not the most exciting topic that you could think of, or is it? I'm not sure we like to think about the crucifixion of Jesus. I know I don't, because the scene is such a horrendous thing. I like the results, the salvation that has been purchased by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, but to spend time considering what that actually was. I remember years ago when The Passion of the Christ first came out, and the depiction of that crucifixion scene was such that it was tough to handle. But I knew I needed to. I needed to be more aware of what it meant for Christ to be crucified, but I also needed to be more aware of what it means for me to be crucified with Christ. There are many things that a lot of people would like to give up. They know are either sinful habits or sometimes just habits they know that aren't that productive, that steal time from them, that steal energy, that steal from what they could be doing. But to get rid of those things in our life, it usually isn't as easy as just saying, I'm done with it. And when Paul writes and Scripture teaches us about being crucified with Christ, it's in that context of the old self, the selfish desire that's within us having to die. That's why a couple of days ago we talked about living as a new creation. Well, we're able to do that because we've been crucified with Christ. Because the old has died, the new has come. This morning, as we spend some time together, I want to share some more about being crucified with Christ, but also the prayer guide that I published this morning that went out on the website and email is about living with discernment. And this week, each day, we'll be praying about some different aspect of what the Bible says about living with discernment. And I believe the reason that we're able to live with discernment is because we've chosen to be crucified with Christ. If we're not willing to die to self, we're not really all that interested in discerning what is true and right and good and just. We're only interested in discerning what's best for me. And so this week we'll be praying about some things the Bible talks about as we look to God for discernment. I've stated most mornings, many mornings at least, in these daily devotions that we live in some very confusing times. Social media is kind of what allows me to do this. It has great opportunity for sharing good news. But it also has great opportunity for sharing bad news, untrue news, unjust news. And the difficulty is it's often up to the presenter as to how well it's presented as to whether it's accepted or not. It seems to have very little to do with the validity of the content. And especially when what's presented is, well, it's not known. As we continue to deal with COVID-19, the facts of the virus and what's going on seem to change from day to day, from week to week, from month to month. The experts kind of line up on opposite sides at times of what we ought to do, of how to slow the spread, of how to get rid of the virus, as well as where it came from and what it really does. And everybody trots out with their pedigrees and degrees behind their name, and they all look the same, they all sound the same, except their message is different. But it's trust me. I studied here, here, and here. This is my specialty. I'm an expert in this. I know what I'm talking about. And we hear that and we think, well, sounds reasonable, I guess. Until the next person comes along and says, trust me. And rattles off the same sometimes and at least very similar credentials. I know what I'm talking about. I've researched this. I've studied. This is my specialty. And their message is very different from what the person before just said. And in these confusing times, how important is it to live with discernment? To spend time with God, asking His Spirit to dwell within us richly in such a way that we can discern good from evil, truth from lies, justice from injustice. What an important time in our life and the life of our nation to spend time praying about living with discernment. And as we do so, we recognize that just how much our selfishness, our desires, our flesh plays into what we believe and what we don't believe. I believe this guy because I like what he says. It makes me comfortable. I can do things in such a way that I'm not nearly as restricted as if I would believe that guy. And then you have those. Well, I believe this guy because he makes me feel safe. All of the restrictions that he thinks I ought to have sound logical in protecting me. And whichever one's right, I'm not even sure, but did you catch the similarities in those reasonings? Me. I want freedom or I want protection. And we've gotten really good at trotting out the non-selfish whitewash. Well, it isn't really for you. It's to protect the quote, most vulnerable among us. You wouldn't want to be responsible for their death, would you? Oh, wait, it is about you. It's designed to make you feel guilty. Should something happen to someone that you might be the cause of? Discernment. You see, when we live with discernment, we recognize that we must live as those who have been crucified to Christ. We've been crucified to self. And we begin to genuinely ask, what can I do that meets the needs of my neighbors, my coworkers, the strangers that I interact with, my neighbors and friends and family? What best meets their needs? And chances are the difficult part of living life is the answer is usually different from person to person. I'm a very, I wouldn't say non-social person, nor would I say anti-social person, but I am definitely not a social person. I can live comfortably without a lot of social interaction with people. And so for me to say you can't go out and spend time with groups of people more than 10 or whatever it would happen to be, it's a no big deal. I've never been all that fond of groups bigger than 10 anyway. But there are others who that type of restriction is absolute torture. And to say, let's do that because, well, it sounds reasonable and it doesn't affect me at all, it's the wrong reason to do it. And I'm not saying there hasn't been reasons to do that. I'm saying, what is our rationale? What is our motives in supporting this position or that position? Have I really crucified self, and am I really looking out for the best interest of others, or am I just going along with a position that, well, makes me feel good? You see, when we're crucified with Christ, it says, it's I that no longer lives, but Christ lives in me. And I know sometimes it sounds so trite to use the old catchphrase, and when I did youth ministry, it seems like a lifetime ago, it was popular. I mean, that was the kind of the crest of the wave and the craze is, what would Jesus do? But it is a valid question. And unfortunately, we live in a time where people assume what he would do. And they'll make up these stories that, well, Jesus would never do that. And I read scripture and I says, he wouldn't. It says here he did. Now, he didn't have the tools that we have today. But there was not a lot of out of the realm of possibility if it was for the benefit of people and the benefit of his Father. And so when we define Jesus as all love, and instead of using Scripture to define what he would do, we define our definition of love and say, well, that's to me not loving, and so Jesus wouldn't do that. We say, you can't talk against sin and challenge people to give up and repent of sinful behavior because, well, that's harsh. That's judgmental. Phrase that likes to get thrown around a lot. Jesus wouldn't be judgmental. Well, half of that's true. Jesus said he did not come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Well, how are they going to be saved? By being crucified with Christ, by repenting of their wicked ways. Jesus was not opposed to telling a person to quit sinning. In fact, he said that more than once. Living as one crucified with Christ says, what matters to God matters to me. And it's not my opinion that defines what matters to God. It's His Word and His Spirit within us. Jesus came, and many people have this idea that, well, we live in the New Testament now, and the Old Testament doesn't count. It's a new covenant. And yet, Scripture teaches us that the Old Testament, the law, was designed as our taskmaster, our teacher, to show us, one, how much we need Christ, and two, what godly living looks like. The real difference is we're not doing it to satisfy the law. We're doing it to please the one who rescued us. We change our behavior because it's the right thing to do. It's the thing that honors Jesus the most. And so as we spend the week living with discernment, praying about living with discernment, and considering how that looks in a life that's been crucified with Christ, what is it that you need to let go of? What is it that I need to let go of? What is it that really is self running the show rather than Christ running my life? You see, when I choose to live as one crucified with Christ, I'm no longer in charge. I'm no longer the one responsible for the final decision. Jesus is. And rather than spending all of my time listening to the experts of whatever field they happen to be, and whether it's religious experts, whether it's health experts, whether it's business experts or whatever, I don't ignore them, but I spend most of my time in God's Word listening to Him, so I have discernment to know when these other worldly experts are leading us astray. And it's just as easily done within the context of religion and Christianity as it is in the context of health and safety. And so today as we pray, think about who you're listening to. Who do you follow the most? I know people who quote their favorite teachers, Bible teachers. They don't seem to know a lot of Scripture, but they know what so-and-so said. Well, so-and-so may be leading them correctly, he may not be. But when every decision that we're making comes back to, this is what that person said, this is what the expert said, this is what I wonder. Who's our God? Jehovah God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament? Or is our God the guy with the fancy podcast that we agree with all the time? Is our God self that we agree with all the time? You see, being crucified with Christ says the other gods of this world no longer have appeal, but they no longer have say. So this morning as we pray, consider what it looks like to be crucified with Christ, to live with discernment, and to be fully surrendered to living by God's Word. Would you spend some time praying with me? Father, thank you that you are indeed a God who loves us to such an extent that Jesus came and lived and died but rose again so that we can live forever with you. Father, help us to live as those who have been crucified with Christ, those whose old lives are dead and no longer valid. Help us to live in that new life in a way that honors you like Jesus honored you. Father, as we live in that life, may we look to you constantly for discernment. In a world full of messages that are so jumbled and mixed up, and the truth and lies and deceit and honesty all mixed together, that it's so difficult to know. May we constantly look to your word and to your spirit, to the time we spend with you, to have true discernment. A godly discernment that looks out for the good of others, even above our own. Father, forgive us for the times where we've played at it. We've developed our own models of discernment that really are selfish. That we've created language that disguises and attempts to hide our selfishness behind noble-sounding platitudes. Father, for those times where we've put other people and other resources ahead of you, we ask your forgiveness and we really ask that you would help us to repent and to turn away from those gods of this world that we serve. Oh, Father, today I pray that you would wipe this virus from the face of the earth. That the virus of COVID-19 would be gone and no more be heard from. But also the virus of hatred and prejudice. That you would cleanse our hearts and our minds. That we would walk humbly with one another, with you. Father, today as we begin a week focused on praying about living with discernment, may we use that discernment first within our own life to accurately discern and know any hidden agendas and sin and things in there that are not of Christ. When we live as those crucified with Christ, may we really live as those whose old nature, old sinful, selfish nature has died. Father, I continue to pray throughout this pandemic and time of social unrest for the children in our homes and our communities. May we continue to raise them up in a fear and admonition of you in such a way that their minds, their hearts, their actions are transformed. Father, may we not be people who simply speak out against injustice, but may we be people who live with justice. Oh, I pray for those who continue to work within the medical facilities and our first responders and those that continue to day in and day out deal with not just the COVID-19, but deal with people in various stages of emergency and sickness and injury and in need. May you protect and give courage and guidance and wisdom, that people would be cared for in ways that are right. Father, for those that are sick with the COVID-19 and the places in our areas that have seen a resurgence in that, I pray that your peace and comfort would be upon them. That you would bring about an embracing of your healing touch, and that would heal well beyond the physical needs. But it would be such an all-encompassing healing that life would never be the same. Father, may each one of us look to you for all that we do, all that we say, all that we live for. May the time that we spend together, whether it's virtually through these online media elements, in person, whatever it looks like, Father, may our worship of you today really be worship of you. Whether we worship together from wherever we are, and whether that's our homes or another person's homes, whether we're back in a church building, whatever that looks like today, may it be about you and not about us. May our desire be not so much to do things our way, but to worship you and do things your way. Father, give us discernment and wisdom and courage to know that, as Jesus said, the true worshipers were those that will worship in spirit and in truth. Help us to be those true worshipers wherever we are. Father, today, may Jesus be lifted up in our life. As we live specifically as those crucified in Christ and with Christ, may we recognize the result of that. It is that we no longer live, but He lives in us. And so may He be who is seen, who is heard, who is felt by our presence. Father, as we lift up Jesus, may He draw many to Himself for His honor, for His glory, for your good purposes. And may any good that comes from us be done in the name of Jesus, that you alone receive all that is due. It's in His name that I pray. Amen. Thank you for joining me on this Sunday morning devotion, encouragement, and prayer time. Again, Sunday mornings, I typically go a little longer than usual to be able to use it for a Sunday school, small group devotion time as you prepare to worship together, whether you're doing that online or in person. May you be greatly blessed by God today, that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.